News Radio, KFGO.
It's Plantalk on KFGO, and Dave Decock is with us, retired horticulturalist, king of all things green, the lord of the lawn, the master of the mums. Dave, welcome back to KFGO Radio.
Well, it's great to be here.
It's great to have you here, and Plantalk, of course, is brought to you by some great sponsors, Dave's West Fargo Tire and Service, Thompson Greenery, Jean's The Right Plant Place, Turf Tamers, Cheyenne Gardens, and Valley Turf Sod Farm. If you're thinking about doing anything in your yard, you've got a good list of experts there in our sponsors. Let's get first to the text club because people are already texting in with great questions. When is a good time to transplant lilac? How deep should they be planted? Would it be okay in a hard ground? Example, an old driveway.
It's going to depend on how big they are, and I would say right away in the spring or possibly after Labor Day, but you'll have to cut them back pretty severely when you transplant them. Water them in good, and they should be okay, but they're going to go down. You know, you're going to have to get down. It depends how big the plant is. If it's a great big old lilac, I guess rather than trying to transplant it, I would just get rid of that one, buy a new one, and plant that, because trying to dig up a big old lilac is going to be just a very formidable job.
Sure. And how do you think it'll grow in hard ground, like an old driveway?
Well, you know, it's what you do when you do when you're in something like that. You take the whole much bigger than the plant you're going to put back in, then you put the soil back in, and you plant it into that. You're going to hand out with fairly loose soil around it. So when it gets to the point where it has to start getting out into the more harder areas, it should not be a problem. But you're going to want to make the hole considerably bigger to loosen up the soil.
Okay, let's see. Dave, when to start spraying? By the way, we'll take your calls. Let's throw out the number real quick. 237-5948, 800-880-5346. When should I start spraying apple trees, and how often? Have a six-year-old Honeycrisp with apples now the size of ping pong balls.
Yeah, we usually don't start till about the 25th, so that would be fairly soon. I would guess this weekend would be fine. I usually spray mine every week to 10 days. If you spray them and it rains right away, of course, then you've got to spray again because the spray tends to wash off if we rain. And we're spraying for apple maggots is what we're doing. We want to try and kill the apple maggot flies before they get a chance to lay the eggs into the fruit.
Someone else asks, when can I cut back my fern peony that has fallen from wind or rain? When is it best to separate them as plant is really big?
Okay, as far as separating, usually about Labor Day in the fall. As far as cutting them back, you can shorten the stalks in a little bit so that they stand up a little bit better. If you've got fencing or something around them to hold them up, that should hold them up. But I guess the problem with cutting them way back now is that, of course, they need the sun now to put energy back into the root. So you don't want to take any more off than you have to now. But if you do want to transplant them and divide them, do that about Labor Day in the fall.
Let's talk about some calendar stuff here real quick, Dave. So the 4th of July is right around the corner. That is the day when you should stop harvesting asparagus, right?
Right. Yep. Yeah. 4th of July is normally when we stop harvesting and we just let the growth come up and all the ferns develop. And, of course, that again is what builds up the roots for next spring so you get a good crop next year.
Let's get to the phone lines. Maureen is here, Dave.
Hi, Maureen.
Hi, Dave. Say, I have a clump maple, I mean a clump birch, and then a couple maple trees, and my birch is yellowed. I did put iron in this spring, and now I just put some more in, but it's pretty yellow. It doesn't seem to be taking it. Is there anything else I can do?
How have you been putting it down?
I spayed around the outside of the, you know, where the canopy is, outside of the canopy, and then I put some down, and then I water it in.
Okay. How deep do you go?
A spade deep, half spade.
Okay. Okay, that should be right. That's typically what I do when I put down. I usually take and I've got a tiling spade, so I push that in the ground, and I push it forward, and then I pour some iron in behind it. Then I pull a spade back out and let the sod flap back into place. And then once I'm done, I water it in. But I typically go up to about the drip line, and that's where you're going.
Can I do it again?
Oh, sure. Okay. You could do it again. It's no problem. But if you've just done it now, it'll take a while for it to have effect. So I guess I would not. If you've just done it, I don't think I'd do it right away again.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Mark is next. Dave?
Hi, Mark.
Hi, Dave. Say, I've got two burning bush plants, and the rabbits really nailed them bad. They're about three-quarters dead. So I wonder, can I cut that off in the ground and back?
You know, you could. The ones where they've chewed off, you might as well cut back to the bottom of where they did the chewing. The ones that are not chewed off, you could leave them a little bit taller so that they come back a little bit quicker. But they typically will come back. They'll come back from the root, but if you leave some stock there, they're going to come back quicker.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Sure. Bye, Mark.
Goodbye.
We'll continue to take your calls on Plant Talk here on KFGO. You can call in now, 237-5948, 800-880-5346. This is Plant Talk with Dave Decock on KFGO.
Plant Talk with Dave Decock is back. Let's get right to the phone lines for you, Dave. On the line, we've got Chad.
Hi, Chad.
Yeah, hello. Hi there, Dave.
Yeah.
I have a silver maple tree that was planted about 14 years ago in my backyard, and it's always looked beautiful and been growing tremendously. Now, this year, one of the branches, the leaves kind of got brown and shriveled up, and then all of a sudden the whole tree turned brown, and the leaves are all dried up and looks like fall. And we're not sure what happened all of a sudden. It's always looked great.
Has there been any excavation or anything around the tree whatsoever that could have affected it?
We did trench by that tree probably 10 feet away from it 2 years ago on kind of one side. There is some bark on it that looks like it's kind of loose.
Oh, sure. Sure. Now, the bark that's loose, are you getting any new growth from the base of the tree itself?
I don't know if I can tell.
Okay.
You mean like
like suckers or something coming up from the base?
No.
Okay. Typically, though, when you've got loose bark there, I guess that's really what I would investigate to find out just how much loose bark there is, because if the bark does die and gets loose, of course, everything above where the bark is dead is going to die.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if it was sunscalded last winter. There was no rabbit damage or vole damage or anything that would have taken the bark off, is there?
Right, there's not.
Okay. But I would investigate that loose bark and just see how much loose bark there is. If it is loose all the way around, then obviously that's why the top has died. And it may have had some sunscald damage or whatever last winter, and that could kill the bark. And then come spring, it'll leaf out fine in the spring, but the bark, if it's dead, it's going to start loosening up. And when it does, then, of course, the top, once we start getting some warm, dry weather, the top's going to start turning brown because there's just no more moisture coming up. So I would investigate that. But usually if that happens, you end up getting growth at the base of the tree because the root system is still good. Now, if the bark seems to be okay and you're not getting any growth at the base, then I would guess that it's the root system that's got the problem, and it's hard to say what that could be.
Okay.
Because root systems, once something happens to a root system, there's just no way to tell. I mean, you could dig it out and find out, but nobody's going to do that. I mean, if it's dead and it's not going to come back, you're just going to cut it down and grain the root out or whatever and plant something else. But I would check and investigate that loose bark and see how far around that goes. If it's loose all the way around, then you know that everything above that's a goner. The bark seems to be okay. Then something must happen to the root system, but I'd give it a little more time just to see. If it's actually dead, then what's going to happen is the smaller branches are going to start to get brittle, and eventually the bigger ones will.
Okay. All right. Thank
you. It's a wait-and-see thing.
Okay, thanks, Chad. Thanks for your call. Let's get to the next phone call. Tony is next.
Hi, Tony.
Hello, Dave. Love you. Love your show and appreciate your information.
Well, thank you.
A couple years ago, we bought an old cabin. It had a beautiful big maple in front of it. And we tore down that cabin and built a new cabin. And we were real careful to stay away from that maple. But I noticed now this spring that on one side there's, you know, how the couple of the small branches are dying. You know, it seems to be more predominantly on one side, you know, on one big branch that goes up. Is there anything we can do around that tree? Like, we dug a few holes and put some some plant food in there and stuff. Is there anything else, anything we can do?
Now, how close, when you dug next to it, how close did you go?
No closer than the other cabin was.
Oh, okay. Now, did the other cabin have a basement under it?
It did. And, and this one does. You know, this one does also.
But you left the foundation there, and you just put a new cabin on the old foundation.
No, we tore out the foundation also.
Oh, and put a new foundation in.
Okay. And put a new foundation. How
close was that to the trunk of the tree itself?
Oh golly, 20 feet, I suppose.
Come on, how far?
15 or 20 feet.
Well, that shouldn't be a serious problem. You know, the branches on that particular side, you may see some dying of branches on that side or you know, it may not do as good on that side, but it should not affect the rest of the tree. You know, the roots should still be fine on the rest of the tree. You may have a little bit effect on that particular side. But the tree should adapt to it.
And that's probably from the damage from the excavation or whatever.
Yeah, if it's on that side of the tree, yes.
How about if the forklift or something drove too close to the tree? Can we like rototill out there or do anything to fertilize, refertilize, or loosen up those, the roots?
Well, I don't know. I would assume if it's a cabin, you're probably over in Minnesota someplace. And usually the soil there is a lot lighter than it is here. So I'm not sure that you need to go around and mess loosening up the soil. I think your best bet is just to leave it alone. And if we do get, if we get some really dry weather, you can certainly give it a good soaking down to help us from that aspect. But the thing to keep in mind is that a lot of the roots aren't that deep. And if you rototill, you're probably damaging some roots too. So I guess I'd be kind of wary about doing something like that. I think your best bet is if you put some plant food down, if it does get hot and dry, give it a good soaking down. But beyond that, I guess I would just leave it go and hopefully it'll come back.
Okay. Okay, now, on another lot we have down there, there's about 100.
Hey, Tony, we're going to have to hold on. Okay, hold on for just a moment. We're going to have to go to a break here. We don't have time for another question. Sorry to cut you off, but this is Plant Talk. We'll continue to take your questions. After KFGO News, Plant Talk is brought to you by Dave's West Fargo Tire and Service, Thompson Greenery, Jean's The Right Plant Place, Turf Tamers, Cheyenne Gardens, and Valley Turf Sod Farm. Plant Talk with Dave Decock is on the air, and these people have been waiting a long time. Dave, we're going to get back to the phone lines. Sherry is on the line now.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Dave. I planted on Sunday two red leaf clump birch trees, and one of them has 7 stems. And I'm wondering if I should cut some of those stems off or let all 7 grow.
What kind of tree did you say?
Red leaf clump birch.
Red leaf clump birch, and you've got 7. 7 is quite a few stocks to have. With most, right, most of your clump birches are 3 stocked, maybe 4 or 5 stocked. But I guess what I would do with it now, rather than cut anything off now, I would let it get established first and then do the cutting off.
Okay.
You know, once it gets established, then do the cutting off. I know that if you cut off now, how big a pot was it in?
Oh, probably a gallon.
Oh, and it's got, how tall is it?
Maybe about 3 gallon. The tallest is maybe about 6 feet.
Okay. Yeah, 3 gallon. But you could get it planted. That's a lot of stock stuff. Now, I guess what I would try and do, I guess, is if you take any off, take the ones off that are the most horizontal. You're going to want to keep the ones that are vertical growing. The ones that are up and down, you're going to want to keep. But the ones that are really laying, you know, the most horizontal ones, I guess if I was going to take off, I'd probably take a couple of the most horizontal ones off. And that will, okay, that will help a little bit, because you'll have less leaves then, and it won't be as hard to get it established. The big problem with getting something established like that is that the root system gets disturbed, and if you've got a lot of leaves on top, it's difficult for the root system to take enough moisture up to keep those leaves from turning brown. So I guess taking a couple stalks off certainly would not hurt. I don't know that I'd take any more than a couple off, though.
Okay. We should do that right now.
The other thing with it, too, is that it's, you know, next week's going to be tough on it, so you're going to want to keep it watered, but there's a lot more trees get killed by being too much water than not enough, so be careful with that. If it does seem to wilt during the day or something, you can always hose it down a little bit, too, so you get the leaves wet, because that'll help some.
Oh, okay. Do we trim the stalks at ground level, then? Or just a little
bit? Oh,
above,
I would, yeah. Yeah, I'd get them right out of there at ground level.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you.
Sure, anytime. Bye-bye, Sherry.
Let's get to Marcia next.
Hi, Marcia.
Hello. How are you?
Yes. Good.
I have 2 apple trees that are, this is the 3rd year, and they've died down. They were like 5-foot trees when I planted them.
Right.
But now there's coming all these shoots from, down below. They're like 4 or 5 shoots, and those are already up about 2 feet. I would like to trim them. Do I just keep one and trim them all?
Well, eventually I would do that, but what you're going to want to do now, these shoots, are they coming from the ground, or are they coming above ground? Or
they're coming above ground.
Okay. Now, the apple trees, you want to check them, too, because apple trees are grafted.
Okay.
And what basically happens,
yeah,
is where they graft it, you'll see there's kind of a little bit of a bend in the trunk.
Yes, yes.
Okay. If some of this new growth is coming above that bend, that would be fine.
Okay. That's what's happening.
If it's coming from below that bend in the trunk, then that would be just rootstock, and you really don't want that. So if you're going to keep one, I would keep the highest one, especially if it's above the graft.
Yes, yes, they are. They are. I was out there,
okay,
and just looked at them. But,
okay, if they're all above the graft, you don't need to take them all off right away, but eventually you want to get back to one, and you're going to want to try and keep the one that's the straightest and closest,
yeah,
to the center.
Yeah, and I thought maybe I could even coax it or tie it to the main tree.
Right,
the
right.
Right,
tie it to the old dead stock to give it support.
Yes. Well, thank you so much.
Sure, anytime. Bye-bye.
Let's get back to the phone lines. Dean is next.
Hi, Dean.
Hey, hi, Dave. Looking for some help. Around our yard, we have a number of spots that are just full of yellowed dead grass. And I'd like to try to bring that, you know, the grass back. Would you have some thoughts on what to do with those spots? Anything you'd have advice, I guess?
When did you, when did these spots turn yellow?
Well, we just moved into the house in May.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And the spots have been there and were like that when we moved in.
They probably died in the winter then?
That would be my guess.
Yeah. It might have been. The last owner might have had dogs or something, too, and it might be dog urine that's the problem. I guess what I would do is, it's going to be tough now, but I would take a leaf rake or maybe even a garden rake and loosen that soil up just a bit in the spots, get some Kentucky bluegrass seeds, gather a little seed, rake it in just a touch, and then just keep it moist, and hopefully you can get some new grass coming.
Okay. All right.
Now, the other possibility would get some sod and patch that in, too, but the problem with sod is that it may not match the color of the other grass, and then, of course, it would look bad. So,
sure, yeah. I know the folks who had the house did put in, 3 years old, and they did put in, they had Kentucky bluegrass sod laid.
Right. The trick is finding sod that's going to match the color of this sod. Because Kentucky bluegrass comes in different, some of them, there's a little bit of variety in color. So if you go and buy some grass seed, Kentucky bluegrass seed, you're going to want to use something that's got at least three different varieties in it.
Oh, okay.
And that would tend to, because if you just buy a single variety and you plant it and get it to come up, it may be lighter or darker green than the rest of the lawn, and of course that's not going to look good.
Right, sure.
But if you do put a mix in there that's got several different varieties, then the odds are you're probably going to get something that's going to be pretty close, match the rest of the lawn.
Would you have to water that pretty good, probably every day?
Oh yeah, areas? If you leave the dead thatch there and just sort of rake it into that, that'll help some, because that dead grass will help hold the moisture.
Oh, okay. So you don't really want to remove that dead grass then, Dave?
No. Just loosen it up a little bit. You seed in there and then water it, and that dead grass and stuff is going to help hold the moisture.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay,
well,
thanks
really
for your call, Dean.
Your advice. Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay, let's get back to the phone lines. Nate.
Hi, Nate.
Hi. I was just wondering, I got a spot where it's rocked, and then I got a bird feeder above it, and weeds get in the rock, but I don't want to put weed killer on it because the bird seed gets in there and the birds are feeding from it. Is there a like product that might kill the weeds without hurting the birds?
I don't think that it really shouldn't be a problem. Herbicides you'd use would not be a problem with the birds.
So
I don't think that that'd be a problem. That's probably your easiest thing to do. Otherwise, you probably would have to pull the weeds would be other option.
Right. Well, and they're kind of a whole bunch of varieties, and it'd take a long time to pull them. So that's kind of why I wanted to just put some killer down and get rid of them. But
I would say that Roundup or something like that would be good, because Roundup tends not to be that big a problem. It'll kill anything green, but otherwise it shouldn't be a problem.
Okay, sounds good. Thank
you. I would do that. But trying to pull them would be just a nightmare.
Yeah,
I've got the same problem you got.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you, Dave.
Okay, sure. Bye, Dean.
Bye-bye.
This is Plant Talk on KFGO, and it is brought to you by some great sponsors: Dave's West Fargo Tire and Service, Thompson Greenery, Gene's The Right Plant Place, Turf Tamers, Cheyenne Gardens, and Valley Turf Sod Farm. We'll get back to the phone lines when we come back on Plant Talk on KFGO. It's Plant Talk on KFGO. Dave Decock, how often do you fertilize your flowers and vegetables?
Well, it would depend, but usually what I use, I usually use Miracle-Gro. It's a powder that you, it's something you put on the end of a garden hose. You put some the powder in the jar, fill it with water, and then you turn the hose on, you spray it in your plants. And when I use that, I probably about every 2 weeks is what I do.
Okay.
It's going to depend how you do it. If you put stuff on the ground, of course, you don't have to do it as often because that lasts a lot longer than when you spray it on the leaves.
Another question that came in at the beginning of the show was, should I put on a second application of lawn fertilizer now?
Well, the only time I guess I would fertilize lawn this time of year is if you do a lot of watering.
Sure.
You know, you have to have good moisture to use the fertilizer, and if you do a lot of watering, or if by chance you get a summer where you get a lot of rain, of course, then watering is not a problem. But if you're going to put fertilizer down and not do watering, it's better not to put the fertilizer down.
Okay, Jethro is next on the phone line.
Hello.
Hi, Dave. This is Jethro. Say, I got an established ash tree. The lower branches were damaged by the wind. Is it safe to cut them? They're about 2 to 3 to 4 inches in diameter.
Yeah, it's not, if they're damaged, there's not a problem taking them off.
Okay, just cut them as close as to the trunk as I
yeah,
do I put,
yeah, close.
Do I put anything on there?
No, you don't need to do that. They'll heal up fine without it. When you cut them off, you'll see there's what's called a branch collaring, where they come off of the main trunk. They're a little bit larger, and then they can look, fairly soon they get smaller. And that's called the collar. So when you cut, you just cut right at the edge of that collar. So it'll stick out a little bit from the trunk, but not very much. And then it'll heal itself up fine.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
And, of course, you can do that anytime, yeah, because if they're damaged, they got to go.
All right. Thank you, Dave.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Brent is next.
Hi, Brent.
Hello, Dave. How are you?
Good.
Hey, I had a question about a royal maple. Planted it I planted it in my front yard probably 5 or 6 years ago. It leafed out, and now I've got two branches where the leaves are all curled and dried out, and I can't. It almost looks like some it got hit with some kind of poison or something.
Okay. Now it leafed out this spring fine.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess what I would do, I would go back on those limbs where they attached to the main trunk and look at the bark there and see if there's any damage to that bark. Because typically what will happen is that the maples, especially the red maples, are pretty susceptible to sun scald in the winter. Basically what will happen is the sun will warm up the trunk of the tree. Then at night it gets cold, and when it does, it freezes. And when it freezes, it tends to kill those cells. Come spring, even if the bark is damaged, come spring, there's enough moisture there for it to leaf out and be nice. But then as soon as we start getting hot, dry weather, the moisture isn't able to get up to that, and those particular branches, the leaves will start to dry up and die. So I would be suspicious that that's the problem. I would go to the base of those branches and just look at the bark, see if the bark is nice and firmly attached or if it's starting to peel off.
Can I put sealant on there, or do I have to cut the branches off?
I'm afraid you're going to have to take the branches off. It's going to depend on how much of the bark is actually damaged. If you take a knife and you go and just scrape it over the bark a little bit, you should be able to tell if it's dead or if it's alive, because if it's alive, you scrape it just a bit and it'll be green.
Right.
Even if you got sharp fingernails, you can scrape it a little bit and you see when it's healthy, it'll be green. If it's dead, it'll be brown and pulpy.
Okay.
And if most of the bark is dead around those limbs, then I would take them off.
It's going to be a funny looking tree without it, but we'll see.
Yeah, I know. Don't take them off till you're sure, though.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks,
okay.
Brent.
Yeah.
Okay,
bye-bye.
We'll try to sneak in one more question. Wade, I hope it's really fast.
Hey,
Wade.
Charlie. Hey, my neighbors asked him yellow spots on his lawn. And I told him, just take some dirt, rub the dirt in with his fingers on all mounds, there's about 10 of them, and sprinkle in grass seeds and water it. And 10 days, 12, right. 2 weeks, you'll have grass.
That right, works. Right. What he could do, too, rather than add soil, if he just loosens up the dead soil or the dead grass that's there and works the seed into that, keeps it moist, it'll do the same thing.
Can you use a garden rake on the dead grass?
Yeah.
And then get the
soil on the dead spots. Just enough to loosen the soil, scatter the seed, and then just work it in slightly, and then just keep it wet, and it'll come up again.
Good tip to end the show. Dave Decock, thanks so much for another great edition of Plant Talk. We'll see you next Thursday from 1 to 2 o'clock.
Sounds great. I'll be here.
And
bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in. This episode of Plant Talk is brought to you by Dave's West Fargo Tire and Service, Thompson Greenery, Jean's The Right Plant Place, Turf Tamers, Cheyenne Gardens, and Valley Turf Sod Farm. This will be podcast at KFGO.com after the show.